We're going to go to what a lot of people call the Lord's Prayer. Let's go to Luke chapter number 11. And we're going to go ahead and probably read over in Matthew 6 also, but I'll get you there in a bit. Let's just start in Luke chapter number 11. And this is a lesson that I've taught. I'm going to do some repeating this year. 50th anniversary, I really felt like there were several subjects and several series that I wanted to come back and just maybe take a little bit of. We spent an entire year and took as our theme years ago, the year of prayer. And I actually preached 52 messages on prayer in that 1 year, and just challenged the church and challenged me and helped me. And I felt like in every area, all of our prayer ministries went to a higher level, and it helped me personally in our prayer life. You know, one of the things that I think every pastor that wants the best for his people and wants to properly lead his people, you know, one of the things he ought to do is teach on the matter of prayer on a regular basis. So we're just going to take a few Sundays. When I get back from Alaska, I'll probably teach another 2 or 3 weeks on this, and then we're going to switch to something down the home stretch. Boy, this year's going quickly. September! How did we get to September already? But God's been good and faithful. Luke chapter 11, and we'll begin in verse number 1. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Let's just stop and say this. Jesus led by example there. You know, he didn't come over there and say, now, y'all sit down because I want to teach you to pray. You know what inspired them to want to be involved in prayer and to learn how to pray? They saw Jesus pray. They listened to Jesus pray. Hey, if you want praying children, you got to be praying parents. I think if you want praying people, you got to be a praying pastor. You know, if you want praying students in your Sunday school and in our Christian school, then you know what? Our Sunday school teacher, our Christian school teachers, hey, the greatest way to lead and to inspire someone to do better in the area is for us to set the right example. So here he was praying in a certain place. They watched him pray. Could you imagine hearing Jesus pray? I think after I heard Jesus pray, I think I'd be raising my hand saying, could you teach me to pray? You know? And so that's kind of sets the groundwork there. And in verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's go ahead and head over to Matthew chapter number 6. You might mark your place there in Luke. Matthew chapter 6, let's read the same account. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this example. Thank you that this teaching session that Jesus had with his disciples was recorded. And Lord, for us to be able to read about this account and Lord, to learn from it. And Jesus, thank you for just being the ultimate example of everything that we ought to be. Lord, we want to strive to be better. We want to be like you. Lord, we want to have the mind of Christ. Lord, we want to pray like you have taught us to pray. And so may this be a fruitful time for us as we spend some time, Lord, emphasizing this matter of prayer. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, I gave away, and I forgot about this. I gave away a little bookmark, and I passed it out to our church. May have been during that year of prayer. I'm not sure. But the reason I remembered it was my wife's devotional Bible was laying there by my recliner, and I needed to look up something in the Bible, and I usually keep my devotional Bible right there within reach. And I had moved it to the other room. Well, my feet was up. Okay, I would have had to put my feet down. I would have had to stand up and go get it, and her Bible's laying right there. So, you know, one of the perks of old age is that you think of every shortcut you can think of to not have to exert yourself much. And so I just grabbed her Bible, and I opened it up, and I was looking through it, and all of a sudden I found this little bookmark marker that I'd give away, and it said on the top of it, Christ's Seven Prayer Requests. And that just happened this week, and I was getting ready to preach through prayer, and I thought, well, that would be a good lesson to reteach. We haven't done that in a lot of years. You know, prayer requests ought to be treated sacredly. You know, we have a prayer chain here, and from time to time we'll send out a prayer request that somebody in the church, something they're concerned enough about that they feel led of the Lord to ask the church to help them pray about. And, you know, as a fellow church member, as a brother and sister in Christ, if I can have the opportunity to get underneath something and help pray about it a little bit, lift a little bit of the burden of that, I want to do it. I want to be involved in it. And, you know, from time to time, I'll get a phone call, and it'll be a pastor, and he's out there in the ministry, and he said, Brother Ross, I just call you real quick and catch you up on a situation. I just needed some guys to pray. And, you know, maybe a difficulty he's going through, or a crisis in their family. And you know what? Again, wow, I feel like it's an honor. Listen, I think that it's an honor to pray one for pray one for another, and that somebody would entrust you with that. You know, boy, I didn't want to hang up the phone and then not follow through with it. You know, if somebody asked me to pray for something, I want to do it. Well, then we get to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've identified in the gospel seven different things the Lord has asked us to pray about. And if I'm going to treat y'all's prayer request sacredly, and my fellow preachers out there and family members, boy, I think top of the list ought to be, hey, if the Lord Jesus has asked us to pray for something, let's make sure we're praying over these things and for these things on a regular basis. Not only, and I want you to think through this. When I came up with this list of prayer requests, you know, I'm always the one that takes a look at this and say, okay, one of the most profitable things that I've done in studying the Bible is when I look at something that Jesus has said, or something he's commanded me to do, or something he's, you know, I read in the Gospels, I don't just look at the what of it. I like to ask the why of it. Okay, Jesus could have asked us to pray about any seven things, but he's asked us to pray about these seven things. Now, why would he ask these particular seven things? And so I'm going to give you each prayer request, but I'm also going to give you what I believe is the reason behind the prayer request. And so the disciples heard him pray, asked him to teach them to pray. We call this the model prayer. It's often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of a beginner prayer, an introduction to prayer, and it contains five of the seven prayer requests of Jesus Christ. Number one, he asks us to pray for God's kingdom to come, thy kingdom come. Now think about that. We're praying for Christ to come back and clean up this mess. That, of course, is talking about the millennial reign. You know, for his kingdom to come to earth, you know what? We're talking about after the 7 years. We're teaching on Revelation. Sometimes one of the things when you're teaching about prophecy that you have to discern between is, okay, is this talking about the rapture and Christ coming in the clouds? Is this coming to talking about what we call the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the 7 years, where he's going to set up his kingdom? You know what, folks? The more I look around, the more I want to keep praying, thy kingdom come. Hey, mankind's not doing a good job managing God's earth and managing God's people. So he prayed for, we ought to pray for God's kingdom to come. We ought to pray for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you say, preacher, why would he ask us every day to pray for God's kingdom to come? I think this request keeps us looking. Listen, I think one of the most foundational, life-changing doctrines of the Bible is the doctrine of the rapture and the doctrine of the tribulation period, then the doctrine of the coming of Christ in the millennial reign. And you know what? The next big event on God's prophetic calendar is Jesus coming in the clouds, the rapture of the church. Christ promised to return for us. You know, John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Are you listening? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Well, that ought to be something that we're looking for. Our theme verse of our church is looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, you know, if we're praying every day for Christ to come back, we're praying and asking him to return, praying for us to take us into heaven. And then, come on, Revelation 19, one of the most exciting chapters in all of the Bible, when all of a sudden Jesus Christ comes back on that white horse and he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth and rule and reign for 1,000 years. We're commanded to look for his return, looking for that blessed hope. We're promised rewards, a crown, if when he comes, we are found watching. You know, if every day, think about this, we would simply pray, Lord, as John ended the book of Revelation, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, something about praying for Christ's return, folks, sets a reset button in our life. If I pray that every morning, you know what? I think it's going to help me live that day in expectation of the Lord's return. It's going to help me, come on, it's going to help me to say the right things and do the right things. Come on, and be in the right places. Right. Because you know what? If I really believe that Jesus Christ could come back at any time, you know what? I certainly don't want to be doing something that would be displeasing to him when he comes. And so prayer request number one, pray for God's kingdom to come. We got seven. We got to keep moving. How about this? Thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. Pray for God's will. I pray for God's will to be accomplished, God's will to be done. Now, that's a great phrasing. You think about that prayer request. Lord, we would want in our lives, we would want your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, think about that, okay? Hey, in heaven, folks, everything God wills is accomplished. Everything, every wish that he has is fulfilled. You know what? Heaven is not like earth. Heaven, you know what? Everybody that's involved in anything in heaven, all of the created beings around the throne, they live to do the will of God. And what the prayer request is, Lord, the same way it is in heaven when it comes to people wanting to fulfill your will and do your will, and all of the created beings waiting to do your will, wanting to do your will, listening for your command. Come on, listening for you to even whisper something that you want. And everybody jumped. Hey, Lord, help that to be the same way it is on earth. Now, folks, I can't control everything that happens on earth, and neither can you. But you know what? I've got some say in what happens in my life. And if I can't make it happen for the whole earth, you know what? Can I give God a little piece of heaven on earth? Can he find some of us? Come on. Can he find some of us that says, Lord, today I want your will to be done as much in my life as it is up in heaven. Now, this request keeps us focused. Folks, listen to me. Selfishness is, I believe, a spiritual cancer. And I think it may be the sin that's really brought more destruction and more hurt to Christians' lives and to the Church of Jesus Christ than any other thing. And this shouldn't surprise us. You know, God said, hey, in the last days, perilous times. How many times have you heard your preacher say these same things over? Say, why do you keep saying them? I'm going to say them over and over and over again. Because if God tarries one of these days when I'm done and gone, you know what? You'll walk in this church and sit down and some things are going to ring in your head that preacher said over and over. But folks, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And you know what? I believe this. That's first on the list. And all these other sins of the last days can be drawn back to that sin. Right. And this is a challenge for all of us. Hey, you know what? It's easy for every single one of us. Jerry Ross, I'll put myself at the top of the list. It's easy for every single one of us to live selfishly. Right. You know, to want what we want. To do what's best for me. You know, I sometimes hear people, you know, make decisions. Well, that's what's best for me. That's what's best for my family. And I think, well, why don't I just wake up every day and just start doing what's best for me and my family and forget about the cause of Christ and forget about the children of God and forget about the impact it's having on the church. And, hey, we got to be careful, folks, that we're not just living selfishly, okay? It places the focus. Listen, selfishness is a spiritual cancer because it places the focus on us. Come on, what we want or what we will to be, our will, okay? We're not, hey, here's a good reminder, we're not here to live for ourselves. We're here to find and accomplish the perfect will of God. And boy, the perfect will of God isn't one big thing. I think it's 1,000 little things. I think it unfolds every day. I told this story recently, and I told it to Brother Reiser. We got to spend a little bit of time this week together, and I don't get to see Brother Reiser very much. Brother Jonathan Reiser is who I'm talking about. You know, he's down there doing his thing and busy, and we planned a little event and something we could spend a little bit of time together this week. And I told him this story, and I said, you know, I said, sometimes I think, I told him about the message that I preached entitled, Are You Missing the Will of God While You're in the Will of God? And how we make a mistake sometimes of thinking the will of God is just one big thing, and we fail to realize the will of God unfolds every single day of our life. And some of the little things that God will impress you to do here on earth, you may not think is a big deal, but you know, once you get to heaven, you find out what a big deal it was. I told him this really neat story. Most of you know I've got a friend I went to Bible college with, and you know what? If he was here, I'd say it the way I'm saying it now, and he would be saying, "You're right, preacher." You know, he said he got out of Bible college, got away from the Lord, and ended up he ended up going into the military. And nothing wrong with serving in the military, but wasn't, I think, the Lord's direction for his life. But he's gone through a couple bad marriages, and you know, so on and so forth. I love talking to him. I'll talk to him probably at least once a week. And I mean, he'll say this to me often. Often he'll say, Brother Jerry, he said, you know what? I'm the biggest sinner I know. But he said, you know what? God's been so patient with me and shown me so much grace. And, you know, he's gotten back to a good place in his life, and he's serving the Lord, trying to do the best he can, you know. But he was going through a divorce. And I'll just tell you this one story. He called me one day, and he was going through a tough time. Some of you have been through this, and there's just, it's something I can't imagine. I don't know anything a person can do that could hurt another person more than to be unfaithful to them in marriage, or to hurt them, or to discard them. To me, that is just like, you know, it's got to be one of the worst things that anybody has to go through. And it wasn't of his choosing, it was her choosing. And I was on the phone a lot with him during that stretch, because it was tough and hard on him. And he called me one day, and he said, "Man, you're not going to believe what happened." And I said, "Tell me." And he said, "I was driving to work this morning." And he said, you know, I got stopped going through Colorado Springs, heading to where he works. And he said, I got stopped at a stoplight, and there's two lanes, you know, four lanes, kind of like 41, you know. And he said, a guy pulled up next to me, and he said, he tooted his horn. I looked over, and he's rolling his window down. Nobody does that anymore, do they? He's rolling his window down. Man, wow. Dated myself there, you know. And, you know, pull back the rumble seat. And, he was rolling his window down, and he said, so I told, you know, he's on this side of him, so he said, I put my passenger window down, and he said, hey, he said, pulled up the stoplight, and I looked over at you, and God told me to tell you something. And Bill's like, okay. He said, God hasn't forgotten you, and he still loves you. So take cheer, take heart. That's all I need. Rolled his window up and drove off. Bill said, I made it two more lights, and I had to pull over in a parking lot and just sat there and wept. And I thought, you know what, folks, God impressed that man to say just a couple sentences to a guy that he didn't even know. Right. Something's beeping in here, and I don't know what it is. You may not be able to hear it, but if it, okay, all right. But if you can, if it's you, try to fix it, okay? And if not, if you can't fix it, that's okay. I've preached with more distractions than that, but trust me. But anyway, you know, he calls me on the phone, and it's just, you know, and you think, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? You know, oh, God's will is for me to be a preacher. Okay, I'm a preacher, so I'm in God's will. Well, I might be in God's will, and I might be missing God's will while I'm in God's will. Because every single day, folks, God's will unfolds. And God's will could be, you know, that guy probably, you know, I was thinking about the guy, you know, that all of a sudden God says, hey, beep the horn and tell this guy something. I mean, I don't know if God spoke to my heart, but he'd be going, are you sure? You know? This is strange. This is weird, you know. And yet he had no idea who he was. He didn't have any idea what he was going through. And yet, God, listen, tomorrow you may have a brief encounter with somebody, and it's one of the great wills of God and purposes and reasons he put you on this planet. And it may seem like nothing to you, and you're going to get to eternity and find out it's a big deal. And so I think what readies us for that and keeps us looking for those opportunities is Jesus said, why don't you pray every day, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Lord, just help me to do your will today. As I go about the duties of life, come on, we all have them, and what we have to do in this life, help me to look for the opportunities where you want me to reach out and touch somebody's life or do something or say something, pass out that gospel tract, stop, have a brief conversation, share your testimony with someone. You know what? Stop and take a look at somebody that maybe looks like they're having a tough time going through a rough patch, and just, hey, wouldn't that be good? Maybe if all of us just said, Lord, help me to find that man or that woman that just needs to hear that God loves them and God hasn't forgotten them. I just thought that was such a neat story. Hey, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why don't we do that every morning? Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, Lord, every morning I'm just going to present my body a living sacrifice, Lord, holy and acceptable. Lord, I don't want to be conformed to the world. I don't want to look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. I want somebody to see something different in me. And so, Lord, just guide me and help me to find today, come on, this day, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, we got to hurry. Prayer request number 3, praying for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. I think that's something that's important to pray over. You know, even American Christians. Well, preacher, I've got a refrigerator full of food and a pantry full of food and a freezer out there that's full of meat. And Lord, I've got not only my daily bread, I've got my weekly bread, I've got my monthly bread. And so why do I need to ask God to give us this day our daily bread? Watch this. This request keeps us thankful. Okay. Come on. Most of us here know where our next meal is coming from. Okay. Groceries in the pantry, stocked refrigerator. And you know what? Because of that, most Christians do not pray this prayer. But you know what? I many, many times, and I think if you ask my wife, my kids, if you ask guests that are invited to my table, When I pray for the food, I'll always say, Lord, I just first of all want to say thank you for keeping your promise. You've promised to take care of us. You've promised to feed us. You promised to provide us our daily provision. And Lord, look, you've done it again. And thank you. And then if we have guests over, I'll usually pray something like this. And Lord, what an added blessing to be able to not only have a meal, but to be able to share it with friends. And so, Lord, thank you for bringing these folks to our table. Help us to have a good visit, good fellowship. And you know what? What does that do? That helps me. Yes, it's the right thing to do, but it helps remind me. Yeah, I may have already had this, but I know where it came from. And I'm still going to be thankful to God for providing this for me. Hey, we have no idea what the future holds in America. And folks, I'm not trying to put us on a guilt trip. I'm just trying to keep us thankful. But boy, I'm telling you, you've never been to a third world country. If you've never been on the front lines on a mission field somewhere, you've never seen abject poverty. Boy, you'll come back to America and it'll change you. Because there are some people that literally wake up. And it's happening even in the United States of America. Some people are waking up this morning not knowing where their meal's coming from. You know, I know people can take advantage of churches, and you know, I trust me, we deal with this all the time. But, you know, this week we had a lady that called the church, and she sends a little girl to church every Sunday. She's one of our bus moms and just going through a rough patch and needed a little bit of help on a utility bill. And then before she hung up, she said, you know, I'm trying to get things worked out and straightened out. And she said, you know, honest truth is, preacher, can I just tell you, we don't really have food. And I'm really in need of groceries. And I said, you know, let me jot down your address. And I appreciate it. Miss Jenny Reiser, I call her usually and put this on her. And I sent her a text and said, hey, here's one of the bus moms. Here's her address. You know, let's take some groceries by. You know, folks listening, they may be taking, I don't care. Look right up here. I don't care. You know what? If there's a kid, no kid in America ought to go to bed with an empty stomach. If we can help people, well, If they'd manage their money, that's right, I agree with you. Maybe that's the truth. But can I say this? That kid's still hungry. Right. And you know what? What's it costing Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Not much. If we can be a blessing and a help, I'm going to tell you, that woman was in tears by the time she got off the phone. She'd called around and called around and called around trying to find different people. I want one place where they can call where people can get help. Okay, and I can't always pay all of their utility bill, and I can't always solve all their problems, but man, if we can put a few meals on a table for somebody, come on, church, help me out. Are you with me? Nod your head and let me know you're awake. Amen. Then let's help people. Let's help people, amen. Let's just be a blessing to them, okay? So this request keeps us thankful, all right? Prayer request number four, praying for forgiveness. Boy, this is good. This is important. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Wow. You know, I kind of wish sometimes God would just have stopped at and forgive us our debts. But this keeps us clean, folks. Come on, we want to go to the Heavenly Father and we want Him to forgive our sins. Aren't you glad? Listen, God's never run out of forgiveness. Trust me, I've been there thousands of times at the throne of grace asking for forgiveness. And not one time did He always say, well, let me check the ledger. Sorry, Jerry, you ran out of your quota, you know. Everybody's allowed so much forgiveness and you've reached the end of it. No, you know what? Aren't you glad that if we confess our sins, come on, here's His promise. He is faithful and just. He puts His faithfulness and His just, you know, on display to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, you know, if God's willing to forgive Jerry Ross, come on, and the mess sometimes I make of my life and the bad decisions and the bad attitude and the bad reactions, come on. We're all human. We're all made out of the same stuff. And every time I've gone to God, He said, okay, I'll forgive you, son. Then you know what? Why, if somebody is seeking forgiveness from us, why would we withhold that forgiveness, you know? And so, you know, I think this keeps us clean. I've got to hurry. Prayer request number five, praying for protection and deliverance. How about this? And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this request, I think, keeps us vigilant. Vigilant. You know, that's the word we find in 1 Peter chapter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, this matter of watchfulness, folks, watchfulness, being vigilant, foreseeing why a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. You know, I've got a message I'm developing on this. And matter of fact, I was going to preach it this morning, and God wouldn't let me change things up last night. I told Cheryl, I've been working for 2 hours on a message I wanted to preach tomorrow. And now God told me I can't preach it tomorrow. And she's like, why not? And I said, I don't know. Ask Him, you know. What do you mean, why not? I don't know why not. Trust me, I don't want to have to spend 2 more hours on another message, but this is the way it's going to go tonight. You know, this idea of being watchful. And I'll give you the introduction, since He won't let me preach the whole message, I'll give you the introduction, all right? Sorry, Lord. You know, but I was reading in the Bible about Gideon's 300. And, he had an army of 32,000. And you know what? God said, you have too many. And I just love that, man. I mean, that's a God. And by the way, what was the reason for that? Oh, because they so outnumbered the enemy that it wouldn't have been fair. No, the Midianites, the Bible said, were as the sand of the sea. I mean, they were still outnumbered, grossly outnumbered. So, but God tells why. He said, you know what? I don't want, when you get the victory, to say, we did it. I want you to say, God did it. And so, the story, he said, you go tell them. Anybody, basically, here's the two words, fearful or afraid. He said, if you're fearful or afraid, go home. And 20,000 of them went home. Okay, think about that. 20,000 of them went home. So they went from 32,000 to 12,000. Just the ones that didn't. And by the way, isn't that a story for us? God needs soldiers. He needs warriors. But you know what takes people out of the army of God? First of all, is the lack of courage. Right. You know, I'm just giving you the introduction, all right? It's just the introduction. It's a lack of courage, okay? But you know what he said next? He said, you take them down to the brook and let them drink. And you know what? There was two different ways that the men drank. Some of them got down on all fours, put their face in the puddle, and drank. The other ones knelt down on a knee, scooped the water like this, drank like this. And folks, it has nothing to do with their mouth or their tongue. It had everything to do with their eyes. And you know what? He eliminated everybody down. I mean, these are 12,000 men that said, I have courage. There's a lot of people join the army of God, and by the way, have the right spirit and want to be there and have the courage to fight. But you know what took them out of the army of God? They weren't watchful. Be sober, folks. Be vigilant. Okay? There's a difference when you're a warrior of getting down and lapping it like a dog laps out of a puddle, and your eyes are there, then kneeling down and drinking water, but keeping your eyes alert. Listen, you know what? Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why? Because we have an enemy. We have an adversary. And he's taken, Brother Joe, this week I heard two stories, and I hate these stories. I don't even want to tell them from the pulpit. I won't tell you specifics. I am so tired of hearing stories about men in ministry that the devil got and took them out of the ministry. I'm so tired of that. And, you know, those are the ones that get headlines, and those are the ones people talk about. But it's not just got the devil taking people out of the pulpit. He's taking them out of the pew also. And you know what? We all need to be sober. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because that devil's out there setting snares, folks. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. You know, name of the message, are you lapping? Are you looking while you're lapping? Okay, are you looking while you're lapping? Be sober, be vigilant. Okay, I'm talking to somebody. I think God wanted me to say enough of this morning. I'm talking to somebody. If you're not careful, you're not paying attention. And the devil's setting a trap. And you think you're going to be the exception. You're not the exception. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about the danger of little sins. You know, well, it's just a little sin. Well, little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Little foxes spoil the vines. Come on, it's a little fly, okay, that ruins the ointment. And you let little things go. You're not watchful. You're not careful. You know what, man? I'm brokenhearted over this. We need soldiers in the army of God. We need soldiers, okay? And what's taking them out? Lack of courage. They don't want to pay the price. They just want to go home. You know, they're scared. They're fearful. Okay, go home, I guess. Quit, I guess, you know. But even amongst those that have the courage to want to do God's will, you better be watchful. You better pay attention, okay? How about this next prayer request, number 6, praying for our enemies. By the way, this keeps us from bitterness. This is found, by the way, if you want to jot it down, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Watch this. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And this keeps us from bitterness. Few things can derail a Christian from growth and blessing quicker than bitterness. Everyone, please listen to me. Everyone will be sinned against. Every one of us is going to be sinned against by someone. Every one of us is going to be treated unfairly by someone. Every one of us is going to be taken advantage at some point by someone. You know, these things, by the way, are wrong. People shouldn't do those things. But it's going to happen. But wait a minute. If you're not careful, you're going to take their sin and you're going to let it create a sin in your life if you don't handle it right. And so, you know what? If we are willing to forgive our enemies, folks, this is going to protect us, inoculate us from this sin of bitterness. And so, you know, the person that you have a hard time with, the person that you carry some bitterness and anger about, you know, I'm telling you how to get it fixed. Put them on your prayer list, and every morning, pray for them. Not for lightning to strike them, okay? All right. I got to watch you Baptist people, you know. Maybe it's just I know me too well. But no, just pray for them. Well, they're out of God's will. Then pray that they get back in God's will. Amen. I don't even think they're saved. Well, then pray that they be saved. Right. Okay. Well, they're not even sorry. Well, pray that they'll learn to be sorry over their sin. Right. That they'll make it right. That they'll get right. And what I can say is this. Keep forgiveness always available in your heart. Okay. Somebody may not come to you and wish for that forgiveness. But if they do, you need to always be ready to forgive, because you know what? Isn't that the way God treats? Come on, church, help me. Isn't that the way God treats us? Well, if he treats Jerry Ross like that, then why in the world would I walk around treating people differently than God treats me? And then prayer request number 7, praying for labors for the harvest. And this is the last of the 7 prayer requests that Christ has given us. He saw the multitudes. This is Matthew 9:36 through 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so this is a prayer request that that Jesus has asked of us. So every day, Jerry Ross needs to pray for laborers. Lord, give us laborers. Give us laborers. Now this prayer request, I think, keeps us available, because praying for God to send laborers into the harvest, come on, the harvest field of souls, it also opens us up to the Holy Spirit dealing with us personally. And I think this is one of the reasons that a lot of Christians don't want to pray this prayer and don't want to obey Christ in this prayer request, because if you go to the Lord and say, Lord, send forth laborers into to the harvest, he's probably going to say, well, what about you? Lord, that's not what I'm praying. I want you to send forth laborers into the harvest. And he'll say, well, good, yeah, that's a good prayer request. What about you? What are you doing? How are you involved in the harvest? And so it'd be hard for us to ask God to send someone to do something, come on, that we're not willing to do for ourselves. Okay, let's summarize. Praying for these 7 requests, folks, not only, think about this, keeps us obedient to Christ, but I believe that every one of these prayer requests are designed to accomplish something specifically in our heart and our life. You know, the old bumper sticker in the 70s, prayer changes things. You know what I found out? That prayer changes more than anything. Prayer changes me. And so, yeah, we pray because we want to see things changed. But in the process of praying in obedience to Christ, what I found out is that prayer really changes me. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd bless this simple lesson. And again, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've included in the Gospels. They're so pertinent, so practical to us, so helpful to us. And Lord, as we Lord, emphasize for a few weeks here this matter of prayer, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, wherever we're at in our prayer life, wherever we're at, I just pray, Lord, that you'll use these lessons to help us to maybe go to another level, a more blessed level in this area of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.